run down the battery even faster.
Okay, Zot the Gemara, the Lamed Hey Omed Aleph. So the truth is, we actually left off sort of in the middle of a question. So let's just update the situation. The Gemara asked, Minohan Amili, how do you know that you make a bracha before you eat? So the Gemara brought a pasuk, Kodesh Hilulim Lashem. The word Hilulim is Loshen Rabim. So therefore the indication is that there's two Hilulim, two Hidoyes, two brachas. What is that? Before and afterwards. So let's just go from the Gemara right from the beginning. We'll go through the first part quickly because we've learned that, and then we'll get up to date. Minohan Amili, the Tana Rabbanon, Kodesh Hilulim Lashem. Remember that pasuk written in last week's parasha is talking about Revai. Malamed, this teaches us, Shetu'unim Brocha Lefneim Ula Achareim. Where do you see both before and after? Because Hilulim is written in the plural. Mikan Omer Rabbi Akiva, Osa La'odom Sheyitoim. You see from over here that it's Osa to taste Klum, anything whatsoever, Kodim Sheyavorech. Says the Gemara, Vahai Kodesh Hilulim, quote unquote, Lahoch Yehuda Asa. Is it really coming to teach us this principle that you make a bracha both before and after? Surely these words, or the word Hilulim, which definitely has double drosha potential, but l'chayra, both droshas are l'chayra booked up. Why are they booked up? Because I need them. Haimi boyele, surely we require them for two other halachas. Chad, number one, the Omer Achmona, achle v'hodor ochle. Sounds like a poetic turn of phrase. You first have to be mechalel, and then you can eat. Remember, these are kodesh. So if you want to take them to Yerushalayim, it's fine. If not, you have to be mechalel there. So where do I learn that achle v'hodor ochle from? Because the word hilulim, the hey, can be interchanged with the ches. It's as if it's written chilulim. So if that's one drosha. If you want to eat it, you want to be able to eat it, first do the achle, and then you can do the ochle. That's drosha number one. Ve'edach, furthermore, dovor hato'un shiro. Something that requires shiro, ta'un chilul, requires chilul as well. In other words, what type of fruit or what type of food are the halachas of Revai negeya to? The answer is only that type of food which requires shira. Which type of food requires shira? Yayin, grapes. And that's what it's saying. Dovah ta'un shira, ta'un chilul. That which requires shira also requires chilul. V'she'einoi ta'un shira, ein ta'un chilul. Who taught us that principle? Or could Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmeni or Rabbi Yonasan? Oh, Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmeni or Rabbi Yonasan, minayin she'ein oimrim shira elo ala yayin. How do I know that I only say shira on yayin, and I do not, however, say shira on other aspects in the Beis Hamikdash, which of course brings us back to what we learned at the end of Sukkah with regard to Nesachim? So you learned it from a pasuk. Shenema v'atayma lohem ha-gefen ichdalti es tiroishi ha-mesameach eloikim v'anoshim. The gefen is mesameach eloikim v'anoshim. Now, how is the gefen mesameach people? Very simply, they drink it and they enjoy it. But how is yayin mesameach, as it were, eloikim? That's the Gemara's question. Im anoshim mesameach, but I understand, but eloikim b'ma mesameach, mikan, from here you learn, she'ein oimrim shiro elo ala yayin. Now, stop. Really, this is where we ended on Tuesday, but to be perfectly honest, it's not actually the end of the question. So let's pause for a moment. What have we asked? Hilulim definitely had a double drosha in it, because it's written in plural. So we're learning two halachas, brocha lefneihem, brocha la'achareihem. Says the Gemara, I'm very sorry to tell you, hilulim, which is true, you can learn two things from, but the two things that we learn are other halachas completely. Number one, hilul chilul, that if you want to eat it, you first got to be mechallel. Secondly, it's got to be something that you normally sing halal about, i.e.,
grape.
Yayin. Now, if you remember, we mentioned last time, there's actually a machlokes. Kerem Ravai or Netta Ravai? Netta Ravai means any plantation is subject to Ravai. Kerem Ravai is on a kerem on a vineyard, a yayin. Now, if you go with the opinion of Kerem Ravai, which means that the only food that relates to Ravai is Kerem Yayin, then the question that we asked is indeed a very, very big question. If you hold Netta Ravai, then it's not true at all to say that Hilulim is teaching us that you need to have a Hallel for Ravai to apply. It's not true. So therefore the question we've just asked, at least with regard to the second halacha, is a little bit up in the air. So would we all agree that the question is only a good question if we follow the opinion Kerem Ravai? If you hold Kerem Ravai, it means that the only food that pertains that has the halachas of Ravai is the Kerem, is the vineyard. Where would we learn that from? The pasuk we brought in the Gemara, Shira Yain, and that's going to be learned from Hilulim. Well then indeed, we're in big trouble. I need both aspects of the Hilulim words to teach me various halachas. If, however, you hold Netta Ravai, what would be the situation then? Then it opens up one of them. The first question is still a problem. Because you definitely learn Hilulim, Chilulim. But to say that it also you learn Halel and Shira and Yain, that's not true. It applies to food beyond Yain as well. And that's why the Gemara now continues and says, Honicha. So Honicha is really a continuation of the question. Honicha lamandatoni netarabai. So it's all fine and well according to the opinion that says Netta Ravai. Because if you hold Netta Ravai, then which foods have the halachas of Ravai? Everything, not just Yayin. So all foods have the halachas of Ravai. So what does Honicha mean? All is well. What does that mean, all is well? Right, so it's not quite all is well. Half is well. That means the second question would not be questioned at all if you hold Netta Ravai. That's what the Gemara says. Elo lamanda oma lamanda toni kerem Ravai. If you hold that Ravai is the Ravai, applies only to the Kerem, well then we're in big trouble. My economy, what are you going to say? The Itzman, because in fact there is a Machlaikas, Rav Chia, for Rav Shimon Barebi, Chad Toni Kerem Ravai, for Chad Toni Netta Ravai. So therefore, the Gemara is, as it were, partially admitting that what? The second question is not an absolute question because it depends on a machlokes kerem ravai or netta ravai. So let's see Rashi. Honicha leman da'oma. Says Rashi, Honicha leman da'oma. Kula, all of this is siyuma the pircha. What does siyuma the pircha mean? It's the siyum. What's the siyum? The end. It's the end of the question. In other words, Honicha sounds like a bit of an answer. Says Rashi, no, it's the end of the question. We just said that what? For the second halacha that we learn from Hilulim is to teach you that Ravai only applies to Yayin. Honicha, let's continue with that to say, well, that's only true according to one opinion and not the other. It's all part of the question. And Rashi explains. V'hochi komar, and this is what's meant. Honicha. It would all be fine and well. Ha de Yalfut. What does Yalfut mean? Like Yalfinon. We learn, derive. That which you derived bracha mehocha. You wanted to learn that you make brachas from over here, from this pasuk. That's okay. Lamandatoni. Netta Ravai. Let's underline the word netta. According to the netta manda omar, that's great. Why? Islay, because he holds kol peiros ha'ilon All fruits of the tree are b'teiras ravai, are included and are subject to halachas of ravai. In which case, v'loy dorish mehocha. Well, according to that opinion, he clearly does not darshan from over here. Dovar de ta'un halel, ta'un chilul. That principle that we said before, that if it needs halel, then it needs chilul. Is that true according to the opinion Netta Ravai?
No.
It's not true. Why is it not true? Because what does that mean? Dova ton halel ton chilul. Which needs halel? Only yain. Excuse me. Netta Ravai holds it's not only yain. So he clearly does not hold of that whole principle. In other words, he does not make that drosha. So the drosha, based on the words hilulim halel, which tells us if it needs a halel, it needs a chilul, the Netta Ravai opinion doesn't hold of that drosha. So how much has been freed up? One of it, says Rashi. In which case, ayater lei, what does ayater mean? Like the word yater, remains for him, chad hilul lebrocha. At least one of the hilulim, there were two, because there's chedesh hilulim, plural, hilulim. So one of them is at least now just being freed up. However, says Rashi, if you hold Kerem Ravai, Ma'ikalameima. What are you going to say? Surely, Homi Boyale, we require this word, Le Midrash, to learn She'ein Chilul Elo B'mokoim Hilul. There is only a Chilul where there's a Hilul, i.e., Yain. If that's the case, then he's really in trouble, because he's got none of the Hilulim Droshas there at all. One is to be taught that there exists a concept of chilul, and the other is to tell you that it only applies to yain. So, according to the opinion Kerem Ravai, we have a double question. According to the opinion Netta Ravai, then we have a single question. One drosha is good, one is not, however, spare.
Even though it's two brachos, it's the fanel acharel, but we're using it for both.
We're using hilulim for both. That means we need.
Only if one is free, so I need to cover the fanel or
right,
acharel.
Right, and that's why when the Gemara says ha nicha, it doesn't actually mean that everything is fine and well, as Rashi just pointed out. Ayatzer le chad hilul lebracha. At least one would be freed up. But you're right; we'll still be in trouble.
Well, the Mishnah only talks about the bracha before.
The Mishnah only talks about the bracha before, but the Braisa says
that it could be both.
Melamed shetu'unim bracha lifnehem ula achareihem. So it's true. What's relevant to our Mishnah is the lifnehem, but the truth is, we learn from this pasuk hilulim, which is written in the plural, a double drasha. Lifnehem ula achareihem. Now you can only darsh in a double drasha if both aspects of the word hilulim are freed up. So aspect number one is definitely not freed up, because I need to learn hilulim, chilulim. Aspect number two, that might be subject to machlokes. If you hold kerem ravai, then it's also, even aspect number two is not freed up, because I need to have the drasha that there's only a chilul where there's a hilul, which is only by yayin. If you hold kerem ravai, netta ravai, then that second aspect becomes freed up. Because you don't darshan this halacha of hilul chilul, in which case you've got the second aspect of hilulim there. But as you rightly point out, you're not completely out of the trouble, because you still learn one halacha from this word, so you haven't got two aspects there. Says Rashi, one more Rashi. Chad toni kerem ravai. We said there's machlokes. Kerem ravai or netta ravai. So one states kerem ravai. What does it mean he states? Where does he state it? Says Rashi, b'chol mokoyim sheyesh b'mishnah netta ravai. Wherever it says in Shas, in the Mishnah, is the words netta ravai, comma, toni ihu. He, however, had a different girsa, kerem. So if you want to know what does it mean, he states Kerem where? Everywhere. Wherever you see the words in the Mishnah is Netzer Ravai, according to one opinion, you have to cut out the words Netta and insert Kerem. Okay, so now the Gemara keeps on going. Says the Gemara, Ho Nicha. Again, we're going to continue on. Ho Nicha I Yalef Gezeira Shava. In other words, we just said there's an opinion called Kerem Ravai. Kerem Ravai. Kerem Ravai means that the halachas of Ravai only apply to a kerem, i.e. grapes and yayin. Now, we're assuming, where does he learn that from? If you are of the opinion Kerem Ravai, where do you learn that from? What's your source? So at the moment we're assuming the source is from our pasuk Chodesh Hilulim Lashem. There's only a Hilul if there's a Hilul. If that's the case, then he's in major, major trouble, because it means that Chodesh Hilulim is absolutely not fair in any way whatsoever. If in theory, and we're going to see in a second, maybe it's not just in theory, if in theory he has a different source to learn Kerem Ravai, but it's not from Kodesh Ilulim, then what? Then at least one aspect of Kodesh Ilulim will become freed up again. Just like it comes to Mandoma Netzer Ravai. And that's what the Gemara says now. Ha Nicha, it would all be fine, Iyalet Zerushova, if he learns the halacha of Kerem Ravai, not from our pasuk, but rather from a different source, namely Gzeira Shama. Why the Tanya? Rabbi Omer. Rabbi says, Ne'emar kan. It is written over here, Lo hoisif, lochem, tvu osay. With regard to Ravai, in our six parashas, written the words, tvu osay. V'ne'emar lahalom. And it also says elsewhere, v'tvuas. Hakerem. So the common denominator being that in both psukim the word tevuah is written, but in the second one, what does it say? Kerem. So there's a gzeirah shava that says ma lahalom kerem afkan kerem. Just like the second word tevuah refers to kerem, because it says so clearly in the pasuk, so too the first word tevuah with regard to Rabbi also means kerem only. Ah, if you go with that gzeira shava, then what?
You have one remaining.
You've got one spare. Ayater lei. I would have one spare. Chad chilul or hilul lebracha. So we said if you are of the opinion of kerem ravai, both aspects are hilulim are not available, that might not be true. Because it depends where he learns the Kerem Ravai halacha from. If he learns it from Gzeira Shava, then got one hilul spare. But if not, the ilo yalef Gzeira Shava. But if he does not learn it from Gzeira Shava, then where is he going to have to learn it from?
The pasuk.
Our pasuk of Kodesh Shilulim. In which case, bracha mino lei. Not only that, says Rashi. Says the Gemara, excuse me. The inami yalef gzeira shava, and even if he does learn a gzeira shava, so where does he learn kerem ravai from? Gzeira shava, i.e., from tvuah tvuah, even if that's true. But remember, what would that leave you with? How many aspects of hilulim spare? Only one, so you're not completely out of the woods. Ashkechon la'acharov lefonov minayim. Even if you learn Kerem Ravai from Gzeira Shama, which means that one aspect of Hilulim is freed up, so I can learn one bracha. Which one will I learn? Bracha shela acharov. Why we assume that one, we'll see in a moment. But I still won't have a source for bracha shel afalov. So still not completely out of the woods. Says Rashi, Ha nicha yalef gzeira shava.
i.e.
if, says Rashi, Dorash Lemilfin, he darshans his matter. What does it mean his matter? His halacha. Begzereshava from Tvua Tvua. So then, Vayatir Le, you'd have spare Chad Hillel Lebracha. Says the Gemara, but even if then, I've only got one aspect freed up, so what would I learn? The bracha shel acharov. Now, why would I opt for that one first? Says Rashi, Ashkechon acharov, k'da Ashkechon for birkas hamozoin. T'ksev v'ochalta v'savota uvirachto. We discussed this last time. Min ha-Torah, there only exists one bracha. What is that? Birkas hamozoin, which is a bracha shel acharov, but only on past, only on present. So even though we're bringing droshes, kodesh lulim, etc., etc., it's not a real drosh, obviously. It's a dinim drabon. So if I've only got one aspect spare of this word, what am I going to assume? That it means a brocha shalafonov or a brocha shalacharov? Well, my first assumption will be, let's look if I have a precedent in the Torah. The only precedent I have in the Torah is for a bracha acharov, as Rick Samozin. So therefore, Kodesh Lulim, as we said, gives me two drashas. If I've knocked out one, but I've got one freed up, what would I say? So you have to make a bracha shel acharov. Why is that more likely? Because you see that the Torah also mandates something like that, Rick Samozin.
So the Torah always tells me that I have to do a bracha. So maybe this is the source that it says lefaneh.
No, one second. Lefaneh of what? Oh, a pas.
Right.
Ah, okay. One second. At the moment, we're talking about general foods. This pasuk is not specifically talking about pas. Kodesh Yilulim. No, not this pasuk. We're saying that generally in the Torah, if you do a search in the Torah, does the concept of bracha exist anywhere? The answer is yes. Not over here. In one pasuk in Pashas Ekev, it says, "V'chalta v'savota v'racha." After you pass, you want to say Birkas Hamozoin. Now, back to our subject. I've got a spare pasuk that says, make a bracha. I'd say, probably it means, just like the Torah mandates, you've got to make a bracha after bread. So Chazal are now adding, now make a bracha after all foods. So that's why we're going to say that if I only have one pasuk spare, the more likely option is that it's a bracha shel acharov as opposed to shel afonov. So we're still on the lookout for what?
A source
for bracha shel afonov. Says the Gemara, ha loy kasha. That is not problematic. In other words, if I really have one pasuk to teach me a bracha shel acharov, that in fact could be sufficient, and I could learn from there a bracha shel afonov as well. Really? But we say we need two separate drashas. No, if I have a drasha, tell me a bracha shel acharov, that could suffice, and I would learn from there kal v'chaima that I'm going to make a bracha shel afonov. Why is it a kal v'chaima? It says the Gemara. The Asya b'kal v'chaima. What's the kal v'chaima? Keshehu sova. When he is satiated, which means that what? He doesn't really need to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for food because he's already satiated. And nonetheless, Mavarech, you got to make a bracha. Keshehu ra'ev. When he's hungry, Nekol Shekein. Even more obvious. Here we're getting to a very big discussion, and it's actually a discussion later on in Memches Omer Beis. Based on logic, is it more likely you should make a bracha before or afterwards? So the real answer is, it depends on what the bracha is all about. If I'm thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for filling me up, and it's more likely to make a bracha
after it's when I'm filled up.
If, however, the bracha is an expression of appreciation to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving me food, then it makes more sense to make a bracha lefanov, because afterwards I don't need the food. I had it already. Done. It's over.
But you got satiated through eating something, correct?
So if I've got no need to ask rishus, as it were, remember we're going to see later that the, you know, bracha is to have rishus to eat the food. It's all history. It's gone. It's finished. And if nonetheless, after make a bracha la'acharov, then kol shekein, when you're still hungry, you should have to ask the Kodesh Baruch Hu to eat your food. So therefore, says the Gemara, it could well be that if I have one pasuk spared up to teach me to make a bracha shela'acharov, that would suffice, and I would learn a bracha shelafonov based on pure logic. I don't need a double bracha. Now, Medav Halkin Kop. We were just discussing the opinion of Kerem Ravai. If you hold Kerem Ravai, where do you learn the principle of Kerem Ravai from? You have two options. Either from Kodesh Hilulim, Halel, or from the Zereshah. If you learn it from this pasuk, you're in big trouble. So we have no source, no, nothing spare whatsoever. What do we want to suggest? No. Maybe he learns it from Gzeira Shava. Tavua, tavua. Therefore, at least one aspect, one element of Kodesh Hilulim is freed up. So the Gemara, that could well be enough. Because I'll use the one aspect to learn a bracha shalacharav, based on a kal v'chomer, bracha shalacharav. Okay, so let's stop for a moment. If your name is Kerem Ravai, okay, you are of the opinion Kerem Ravai. So let's now work out our best possible scenario. Your name is Kerem Ravai. I ask you, where do you learn your principle of Kerem Ravai from? And you can answer me from a Gzeira Shah. Okay, good answer. So, Kodesh Hilulim, is it spare? At least one aspect, not the other aspect, one aspect. Okay. So let's read the pasuk according to the opinion that Kerem Ravai. Kodesh Hilulim Lashem. This Ravai is Kodesh. Which Ravai? Kerem. Because your opinion is Kerem Ravai. Where did you learn it from? As it happens, not from this particular pasuk, from elsewhere, Gzeira Shava. But certainly the subject of the pasuk is Kerem, because you're Kerem Ravai. So if the subject of the pasuk is Kerem, albeit I didn't learn the principle of Kerem Ravai from this actual pasuk, I learned from Gzeira Shava, but ultimately, what is the subject of this pasuk? Kerem and Kerem only. Because you hold Kerem Ravai. In which case, if you want to now extrapolate from this pasuk, I've got to make a bracha. La'acharov. And by a kal v'chomer, so too bracha shelafonov. Would you agree to me that's all fine and well and wonderful, but I only then have a source that you make brachas on
wine?
On wine. That's what this pasuk is talking about. In other words, it's true. I don't learn the Kerem Ravai principle from this pasuk, I learn from the Zera Shava. But that's irrelevant, because at the end of the day, what is the subject of this pasuk? Kerem. Wherever you learn it from, if you are of the opinion of Kerem Ravai, if you are of the opinion of Netta Ravai, fine. But if you are of the opinion of Kerem Ravai, then what? This pasuk is talking about Kerem, nothing else. It's only talking about Kerem. So I'm very sorry to tell you, I've got a pasuk that teaches you that when you have a Kerem, you should make brachas. I don't know, make a bracha on a cucumber. I'll make a broth on an orange. Says the Gemara, Ashkechok Kerem. You have found Kerem. Shar minin minayin. How do I know other minim? So here we're going to get to the classic Binyan Av Tzad Hashava mechanism. What's a Binyan Av and what's a Tzad Hashava? Common denominator. So a Binyan Av is as follows. If the Torah tells me a halacha in a particular case, even though it doesn't spell out every single last scenario. So, for example, Torah says, if you're walking down the street and you see your friend's ox and he's lost it, you've got to return it to him. Why? Because of the mitzvah called Hashavas Aveda. So if I would ask you, so how do I know Hashavas Aveda refers also to a pencil? Maybe only to an ox. What would be the answer to that? Torah gives one example. And you learn everything else, right? Binyan Av. What does Binyan Av mean? There's an Av, there's a father. From that you build everything else. So who's the father? The ox. From there I learn, so too principle, so too pencil, and money, and fruit, and table, and whatever else it may be. When would the Binyan Av fall through? When would you not be allowed to extrapolate to other examples? If there's something unique to the Av. If you can come up with a good logic to explain why maybe a shoyr is different to a pencil, well then you have no right to say shoyr and so too pencil. No, maybe only shoyr. But if I don't have any reason to differentiate, then what? And as we always say in our shir, it's not enough to say the difference. You have to explain how it makes the difference. I can't turn around to you and say, yeah, maybe only shoyr, not a pencil. Really, why? Because a shoyr has four legs and a pencil doesn't. Okay, that's a very beautiful difference and I cannot possibly argue that. Why does that make a difference? It is a difference, but it doesn't make a difference. But if I could think of a logic that really is the reason to make a difference, then what? You've got no right to say Binyan Av. That's the principle of Binyan Av. Now, what is Tzad Hashava? So imagine I would turn around to you and I would say, you know something? I think I can differentiate between a shoyr and a pencil. Why is that? Maybe the Torah is saying you only have to return expensive items. They're not cheap things like a pencil. Maybe people are less particular about pencils. Ah, good logic. Maybe therefore, if it says shoyr, I have no right to extrapolate other cheap things. Okay, so I'd look at the pasuk. Imagine the Torah would say, if you see your friend's shoyr or his orange, give it back. So what does that do now to my expensive cheap theory? Prove wrong. Don't tell me that what? That the Torah is only particular on expensive items, like a shoyr, but not a pencil. It's not true because it also says an apple, an orange. So that whole theory has been put to bed. So imagine I'll turn around to you and I'll say, no. Maybe an orange is different to a pencil. Maybe the Torah is only makbid on food. I don't know if people have a special allegiance to food, but not a pencil. Or I turn around to you and say, sorry, shoyr puts that theory to bed. Shoyr is not food. Shoyr is an animal. At least it's not food at the moment. So each one disproves the other one's theory. So what would I turn around and say? I'll say as follows. Listen, if I'd only have shoyr, I'd say maybe only expensive items. If I'd only have an apple, maybe I'd say only food. But the food theory is disproved by the shoyr. The expensive theory is disproved by the apple. So what is the tzad hashava between apple and shoyr? Tzad hashava is that it's another person's property. So too offensive. Rather than saying, no, there's no general rule because maybe something that's expensive is different or maybe something that's food is different. No. Each one disproves the other. So I look for a common theme. What's the common denominator between an apple and a shoyr? Not much.
I'm allowed to say, yes, there is.
A general common denominator is that somebody else's property. So apparently the Torah teaches me a general principle, which is, if you see somebody else's property, return it. So two principles. Okay, now come back. That's the principle of Binyan Av, which you disprove with a pircha. Then you try and bring in another example, which is the Yechiyach. You'll disprove that, you'll have a tzadashon. What is our shayla now? I have a pasuk which is only talking about a kerem. Why is it only talking about a kerem? Because this manda oma holds kerem revai. You've learned from this pasuk by hook or by crook, from the drasha with the kal v'chaymer, you make a brocha. La'acharov, lefonov. Maybe it's going to my Karen. Maybe it's going to my Karen. How do I know, however, that what? That I've got to make a bracha on other species. So now, before we see the Gemara, so whenever we have a question like that, what would be our immediate initial answer? Binyan. You're right, the Torah is talking about kerem, but at the moment I don't see any reason to distinguish between kerem and other things, and therefore I would say the Torah gave one example which happens to be kerem. So too with regard to bracha and other items as well. In other words, I'm sorry to tell you, the ball is in your court, not in my court. You're asking questions. Oh, maybe only kerem. What do you mean, maybe only kerem? Well, why, was kerem exceptional? As far as I'm concerned, kerem is just a fruit, as an example. So if I say so too, all other foods as well. Unless you can come up with some reason to suggest a word,
something unique,
that there's something extra unique about kerem. The Torah slaps extra chumras on kerem. Oh, if there's extra chumras on kerem, well, maybe too. That would explain why you've got to make a bracha as well. Because you see, it has special status. But as long as I don't have that precedent, so what's my assumption? Binyan Av. If it's true by kerem, it's true by cucumbers. It's true by cucumbers, so to oranges and peppers and crisps as well. Also, says the Gemara, Ashkechon kerem. You found kerem so far. That's true. Sharminin minayin. Other species, how do you know? Says the Gemara. To Yalif mikerem. That's a simple answer. You're right, the Torah only talks about kerem. I'll derive it from kerem. What will I say? Ma kerem dovor shenehene. Just like a kerem is something that you eat and you benefit from. V'to'un brocha, and it requires a brocha. Fine, so that will become now my av. That will be my principle. Av kol dovor. So to all items shenehene, that you benefit from, to'un brocha. Why can't that be a general principle? Says the Gemara. Ooh, not so poshut. Says the Gemara, no. Ikela mifrach. You could ask a pircha. What would the pircha be? Ma le kerem. Do you know what's unique to a kerem? Shekein chayev ba'oil elois. What's oil elois?
Unripe.
If you have unripe fruit, or unripe kerem, unripe grapes in your vineyard, what's halacha? Gonna leave them to an oni. That's unique to kerem. I don't have to leave unripe cucumbers for an oni. The kerem apparently has a special chumrah. Oh, well, that's just smashed my binyan av to pieces. You want to say that kerem is just any old example. But if it's true by kerem, it's true with everything. So true, kerem is special. Why is kerem special? Horaya. There's a unique halacha that pertains to kerem and kerem only, and that is? Oh.
So if Kerem has a chumra of oilalois, maybe that's why he has a chumra also of bracha. But other foods that do not have a chumra of oilalois, maybe there's no in a bracha. So who says you can learn from Kerem? Says Rashi, chayev ba'oilalois. Because it says, the karmacha loy sa'oilel. Is there who oilalois? What exactly is oilalois? We're not going to get involved in the technicalities, but it's mishnayis in peyo. And it says, kol she'ein lohem pastigin loy kosef v'loy notef. It has no cluster. It's not attached to any other grapes. Ella shura yachidis, just like an individual line, or part of a whole cluster on top and the bottom. A normal kerem comes in clusters. If it doesn't, just like a little line, a flimsy line of grapes, that's called oilalois. Fine. Where does that apply, oilalois? Only to kerem. Ah, if it only applies to kerem, that clearly shows me that kerem is special. If kerem is special, then maybe I'll say, because it's special, that's why I've got to make brachas. But other foods that don't have the halachas of oilalois are therefore not special. Maybe there's no halacha of bracha. Says the Gemara, no, it's not true. Koma toichiach. What's a koma? A heap of grain. What do you make from grain? Bread. Is there any halachas of oilalois when it comes to bread? No. Do you have to make a bracha on bread?
Yes.
Yes. So you see that what? The oilalois is irrelevant. You see that oilalois has no bearing on bracha. Because I can introduce koma onto the scene, which has no halachas of oilalois and does have halacha of brachas. So you see that brachas and oilalois are not dependent on each other whatsoever. So it's true that kerem has something unique in that it has oilalois, but don't tell me that that's a contributory factor to explain why it has halacha of brachas. Because koma proves to me that what? The oilalois and brachas have no relationship whatsoever. Says Rashi, Koma teichiach. How will Koma prove to me that oilalois is irrelevant? The Ashkechon, we have found the Atzracha Rachmana Bracha. So the Torah requires a bracha on the Koma. Dechsev Teichal Bo Lechem. Says you should eat lechem from the koma, and what does it say immediately afterwards? The stomach lay, and it's juxtapositioned. Ochalta v'savot uveirachta. So I see the halachas and brachas refer to the koma, despite the fact that koma does not have oilalois. So let's now come back to kerem. Kerem wanted to be our av. We wanted to make a binyan av from kerem. We wanted to derive a general principle, which is that if kerem is chayav a bracha, so too other foods are also chayav a bracha. So what do you want to turn around and say? No, kerem is exceptional. Really, why is it exceptional? Because as oilalois, we've just proved that's irrelevant when it comes to brachas. Haraya, come on. Says the Gemara, 1 second. Maybe koma is also unique. Why is koma unique? Koma teichiach. Sorry. Mala koma, shekein chayeves v'chalo. Koma is chayev chalo. Is kerem chayev v'chalo? No. But koma jolly well is. So if you want to tell me that what? That I see that there's a musik of brachas with a koma, even though there's no oilalois, I'll tell you, yeah, but that's exceptional for a different reason. Why is a koma exceptional? Which halacha does it have? Chala. So maybe brachas is all dependent on chala. But cucumber, there's no halachas of chala, so maybe there's no brachas. So what's the obvious answer?
Kerem Yechiach. Well, Kerem disproves the challah principle. How does it disprove the challah principle? There's no challah from Kerem. So Kerem is unique for what? As oilalos. But that's irrelevant, as proved to me by Koma. Yeah, but Koma is unique because it has challah. Well, that's also irrelevant, as proved to me by Kerem. So rather than looking at their unique aspect, which turns out to be totally irrelevant, as proved by the other, look for the Tzad HaShoveh. Says the Gemara, V'chozar Hadin. What does V'chozar Hadin mean? You keep going, it's a tennis match. I'll throw you Kerem. No, Oilalois. Okay, go to Koma. Koma, Chala. Back to Kerem. No, Oilalois. Back to Koma, Chala. Go, it's a whole tennis match. So, rather than focusing on the fact that it has Oilalois, or that it has Chala, I say, Loi Re'ize Kere'ize, V'loi Re'ize Kere'ize. The properties of one don't apply there, the properties of the other don't apply here. So rather, Hatzad HaShoveh Shebohen. What is the Tzad HaShoveh? Dovo Shenehene V'Toun Brach. The common denominator between the Koma and the Kerem, ignore Oilalois, ignore Chala, the common denominator is that they are foods that you benefit from and you make a bracha. Ah, that'll become my binyana or my Tzad HaShoveh. Af kol dava shenene tohun bracha. So again, back to our ox-apple theory. Once you have the ox-apple theory, what does that show me? Don't tell me that we're particular about expensive items because I've got an apple. Don't tell me that we're particular about foods because I've got show. So take those details off the table and look what's in common. It's other people's property. How could I disprove, however, a Tzad HaShoveh as well? If I can find a unique detail which is common to both. If there is some distinguishing factor between an ox and an apple as opposed to a pencil, then you're back in trouble. The fact that the sherry is expensive is irrelevant, as proved to me by apple. The fact that an apple is food is also irrelevant, as proved to me by sherry. So I make a Tzad HaShoveh. So it's over here as well. The fact that Kerem has oilalois is irrelevant. That's proved to me by Koma. Koma, the fact that it has Chala is also irrelevant, as proved to me by Kerem. So make a Tzad HaShoveh. Ignore oilalois, take that off the table. Ignore Chala, take that off the table. What is a Tzad HaShoveh? Both foods, which when you eat, you benefit, therefore you have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're going to make a bracha. Well, that will become my general principle, therefore. So too, any food you benefit from, you make a bracha. Don't keep on showing me oilalois, don't keep on showing me challah. But you can show me that there is some, not unique, but common chumra between Kerem and Koma, then what? We'll be in trouble. Says the Gemara, you are in trouble. Says the Gemara, Ma Latzad HaShoveh Shebohen. There is something unique, not to Kerem or to Koma individually, but rather jointly. And what is that? Shekein Yesh Boy Tzad Mizbeach. They both have a Tzad Mizbeach. What does that mean, a Tzad Mizbeach? They both have Shaychus to a Mizbeach. How does a Kerem have Shaychus to a Mizbeach? Nesachim. Kerem produces wine, Nesachim. A Koma produces grain, from which you make flour that goes to the Menachas. As opposed to an orange or a cucumber, has no Tzad Mizbeach whatsoever. An orange will never go on the Mizbeach ever. Ah, so oilalois and challah are indeed irrelevant. Because each one proves that the other one's chumrah is not relevant. But if we've got a joint property chumrah, i.e. tzad mizbeach, and we're back in trouble. Maybe the Torah says that it's only that type of food which has shaychus to the Mizbeach. It's a holy food. A holy food needs bracha. Who says a cucumber needs bracha? Says Rashi, Tzad Mizbeach, Yayin Lenasachim, the soilest and flour Lemalachis, as opposed to your cucumber, which has no Tzad Mizbeach whatsoever.
So we're in trouble.
So we're back in trouble. Why are we back in trouble? Because even though it's true, I'll give it to you, that this pasuk will teach me brachas, but it only teaches me by kerem. It's true, I've got another source as well from koma, bread, you make a bracha as well, but koma and kerem are exceptional. Not because of oilalos, and not because of challah, but rather because of tzav mizbeach. So maybe that's the principle that the Torah is teaching me. If you have holy foods, make a bracha. But unholy food, like cucumbers, you don't make a bracha. Which means we are back to square one. Not entirely back to square one, because at least we have found a principle, found a source for making brachas on a kerem. But not for other foods. Okay, we'll hold it over here. As I mentioned last time, we want to step up. We're going to try and be learning more tosis than we used to. We're actually going to try and learn every tosis on this page. Not necessarily every tosis on every Amud, but we will try and learn every tosis on this page. Each one are quite short. And Be'ez Hashem, on Sunday, we will first learn the Gemara until the two dots. And then we'll learn the tosis, and it's most of the tosis. In fact, it's all of the tosis. Until the two dots.
Yeah.